Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. That right there, that's a Cold War era number station. Spy transmissions from the Soviet era. And somehow a Chicago alt-country band sampled it. Got sued for it, settled out of court, and used it anyway to create one of the greatest albums of the 2000s. Welcome to Shecky's Jam Bands. Today we're talking about Wilco, a band that proved you can get fired by your record label for making a masterpiece, then make the same label buy it back from you at a profit. If that's not the most beautiful, chaotic middle finger to the music industry, I don't know what is. Quick question. What do you do when your creative partner, the guy you've been making music with since high school, allegedly strokes your girlfriend's hair at a party? If you're Jay Farrar, you wait about a decade, let the resentment simmer, then blow up one of the most influential alt-country bands of the 90s. Meet Uncle Topillo. Jeff Tweedy and Jay Farrar started making music together as teenagers in Belleville, Illinois, a working-class town near St. Louis. They were a band called The Primitives, with drummer Mike Hydorn. When the band's lead singer left for college, the three of them regrouped and became Uncle Topillo in 1987. Uncle Topillo essentially invented alt country. They took punk rock energy, bands like the Minutemen and Black Flag, and smashed it together with traditional country and folk. Their 1990 debut album, No Depression, became so influential that it spawned an entire magazine with the same name. People loved them. Critics loved them, and they were on the verge of breaking big. Then Farrar quit. January 1994, Farrar calls the band's manager and says, "I'm done. I'm not having fun anymore. I don't want to work with Tweedy." Tweedy hears this secondhand, not from Farrar directly, from the manager. Imagine that. Your childhood friend, your musical partner for over a decade, doesn't even have the guts to tell you he's breaking up the band. Tweedy was, understandably, furious. They had just one last tour, which was reportedly awkward as hell, and then it was over. Farrar immediately started assembling Son Volt Tweedy, not one to waste time wallowing, grabbed the rest of Uncle Topillo, bassist John Stirrott, drummer Ken Coomer, multi-instrumentalists Max Johnston, and said, "We're starting a new band." They considered keeping the Uncle Topillo name, but ultimately they went with something new, Wilco. So where does Wilco come from? It's military and aviation radio jargon, short for "will comply." Like you get an order over the radio, you respond, "Roger, Wilco, okay." Jeff Tweedy has said it's fairly ironic for a rock band to name themselves. And honestly, it is ironic, because Wilco has spent their entire career not complying. Not complying to alt country expectations, not complying with label demands, not complying with anyone's idea of what they should sound like. Their first album, AM, came out in 1995. It was solid, straightforward, alt country in the Uncle Topillo mold. Songs like Box Full of Letters and Casino Queen showed Tweedy's knack for hooks and storytelling. But critically, it was fine, not groundbreaking. Meanwhile, Jay Farrar's Son, Volt, dropped Trace in 1995, and critics went wild. It outsold AM. It made year-end lists. Farrar had won round one. But here's the thing about Tweedy. He's patient. He's willing to evolve. By 1996, being there, a sprawling double album, Wilco was already morphing. They added keyboards, noise, texture. They weren't just an alt country band anymore. They were becoming something weirder, more experimental, more interesting. And then came Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. Let me paint you a picture. In 2001, Wilco has been working on their fourth album for months. The record sessions were brutal. Jeff Tweedy and multi-instrumentalist Jay Bennett, who's basically been Tweedy's right hand since being there, They are fighting constantly. Both are struggling with addiction. Both want creative control. Tweety brings in an experimental producer, Jim O'Rourke, who helped finish the album. He also fires the drummer, Ken Coomer, and replaces him with Glenn Kutch from his side project, Loose Fur. Jay Bennett fired after the album is done. Meanwhile, a documentary crew led by Sam Jones is filming all of this for a film called I Am Trying to Break Your Heart. The cameras catch everything, the arguments, the addiction struggles, the creative breakthroughs, and heartbreak. Finally, the album is done. Tweety thinks it's the best thing they've ever made. Wilco hands in their label, Reprise Records, a Warner Brothers subsidiary. Reprise listens, and they hate it. Where's the single? They ask. This will kill Wilco's career. They reject the album. They drop Wilco from the label. Now, here's where it gets beautiful. Wilco's manager negotiates a buyout. Wilco gets to keep the master tapes for free. Reprise just gives them away. So what does Wilco do? They stream the entire album for free on their website, September 18th, 2001, 1 week after 9/11. The internet goes wild. Fans love it. Critics start writing rave reviews. Suddenly, every label wants to sign Wilco. And guess who swoops in? None Such Records, also owned by Warner Brothers. Warner paid for the same album twice. They recorded it on Warner's dime, got dropped, and then sold it back to another Warner subsidiary. As Wilco's manager put it, the coup of all time. Yankee Hotel Foxtrot was released in April 2002. It hit number 13 on the Billboard 200. Wilco's highest chart position ever. It became their best-selling album. Rolling Stone later ranked it among the greatest albums of all time. The album, Reprise, said it would kill Wilco's career, actually saved Wilco's career. All right, let's talk songs, because if you're new to Wilco, you might be thinking, this all sounds dramatic, but what do I actually listen to? Here's my take. One song to start with. Spiders, and in parentheses, it's called Kid Smoke, so Spiders, Kid Smoke. Off of Ghost Is Born, 2004, Spiders, Kid Smoke, yes, they use both titles, is a 10-minute psychedelic jam that sounds like The Beatles. Tomorrow Never Knows meets Sonic Youth. It's hypnotic. It's weird. It's got lyrics about spiders filling out tax returns, which honestly is peak Tweety absurdism. Live, this song is a monster. The band locks into a groove and just rides it. Glenn Koch's drumming is relentless. Nels Klein layers guitar textures until you can feel you're floating. It's meditative, it's chaotic, it's everything. If Via Chicago is Wilco's emotional gut punch, Spiders Kid Smoke is their invitation to get lost in sound. Both are essential. Both are their top track lists. Both will make you a believer. Now, let me hit you with some Wilco facts that'll make your brain itch in the best way. The album title, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, comes from a real Cold War era shortwave numbers station. Tweety heard it on a compilation called The Conant Project. The recordings of that were believed to be a spy transmission. Robotic voice repeats Yankee Hotel Foxtrot over and over. Wilco sampled it for the song, Poor Places. The label that owned the recording, Eardahl, sued them for copyright infringement. They settled out of court. The sample stayed. Fact number two, the cover of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot features Chicago's Marina City Towers, two cylindrical buildings. When the album was supposed to come out on September 11, 2001, people later read all kinds of eerie symbolism into the twin towers of the cover. Tweety has said it wasn't intentional, but the timing was unsettling. Fact number three, Wilco's lineup has changed more than your favorite restaurant's menu. The only members who've been there since day one are Jeff Tweedy and bassist John Stirratt. Everyone else replaced at some point, but since 2004, the current six-piece lineup, Tweedy, Stirratt, Koch, Klein, and keyboardist Michael Jorgensen and multi-instrumentalist Pat Sansone has been remarkably stable. Longest live incarnation in Wilco's history. Fact four, for his 34th birthday, Jeff Tweedy got private guitar lessons from Richard Lloyd of Television. Tweedy was obsessed with Television's guitar work and wanted to incorporate it into Wilco's sound. Mission accomplished. Fact five, Wilco's first live album, Kicking Television, was recorded in Chicago's Vic Theater in 2005. It's a two-disc set that captures the band at the peak of their powers. Post-Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, post-drama, just a group of insanely talented musicians playing their hearts out. Here's what I love about Wilco. They didn't play it safe. They could have stayed an alt-country band, keep making albums that sounded like AM, toured forever, been comfortable, but they didn't. They took risks. They pissed off their label. They fired band members. They changed their sound with every album. And in doing so, they became one of the most important American bands of the past 30 years. Jeff Tweedy once said, I was trying to put it in perspective for myself, how can there be all these good things that I love about America alongside all the things that I am ashamed of? That tension between love and shame, beauty and ugliness, order and chaos runs through everything Wilco does. It's why Yankee Hotel Foxtrot sounds both intimate and colossal. It's why their song can be gorgeous melodies wrapped in feedback. It's why they name themselves after a phrase that means obedience, then spent decades refusing to obey. Wilco will not comply, and thank goodness for that. That's it for today's episode of Shecky's Jam Bands. If you take away one thing from this, let it be, never let anyone tell you your art isn't good enough. Reprise Records said Yankee Hotel Foxtrot would kill Wilco's career. It became their masterpiece. Go listen to Via Chicago, Get Lost in Spiders, Kid Smoke, and remember, sometimes the best revenge is making your critics buy your album twice. Until next time, keep jamming and never, ever comply.